Hey there. My name is Dave Johnson. You may know me from House Calls, where we talk to investment bankers from Cain Brothers, a division of KeyBank Capital Markets Incorporated. Today, we're going to have a quick hit conversation with Dominic Perretta about the insight piece he just published on the need for new partnerships between skilled nursing facilities and acute care providers.
Thanks, Dave. Excited to be here.
So we're going to dive into the murky world of skilled nursing. Dom, I really enjoyed your insight and was struck by the complexity of the challenges that SNFs and health systems are facing right now. Both are just getting hammered. And in a very short, kind of concise way, you talked about everything from the crisis in labor to payment rates to inflationary pressures to closures, reduced bed availability, changing discharge patterns, and consumer preferences for at-home care. You know, help us make sense out of all this. Untangle it for us.
Yeah, you know, and if you're to talk to operators, both skilled nursing and acute care, you know, in today's market, you know, the first thing that they're going to talk about is the workforce crisis that they're facing. And, you know, as I spend exclusively my time in skilled nursing and senior housing, and you know, every operator will cite that they just don't have the staff to take care of the patients today. You know, there's still 140,000 workers shy of pre-pandemic levels. That is improved from 220,000, you know, last year, but they just don't have the staff. And that's led to a number of issues around agency staffing and not being able to take new admissions into the skilled nursing setting. You layer that on with stagnant Medicaid rate, you know, states that are the haves and the have-nots when it comes to reimbursement, and then the inflation pressures that everyone are facing. And for many operators, the cost to take care of the patients is just exceeding what they're getting reimbursed for. And what that does is that ripples back through the healthcare ecosystem. And, you know, in many markets is resulting in backlogs for discharges in the acute care setting, which is, you know, very much affecting acute care operators and adding just another headwind to what they're already facing in terms of margin pressure. And so as you look at this setting right now and where everyone is grappling for labor, and you layer in what CMS has recently proposed around federal staffing mandates, and, you know, there's just a lot of concern around what this labor situation is today and what it'll continue to be. It is wreaking havoc throughout the system.
Yeah. And AI, at least for the immediate moment, isn't riding to the rescue. So we've got just all kinds of supply demand pressures, and no market is exactly the same. There's strong desires to move as much of this care into the home as possible, but that's not always a reality for many. Why don't you talk to us a little bit, Dom, about some of the traditional approaches that once seemed like magic, you know, narrow networks where you had vertical integration and so on, and why they aren't working as well as they probably should be, and how health systems increasingly are turning to joint ventures as a way out of this mess.
Yeah, you know, the reality of the situation is, you know, what's happening back in the acute care setting. And from 2019 to 2022, we saw the average length of stay for patients that are going to be discharged to a skilled nursing setting increased by 12%. And so, you know, the opportunity to discharge those patients in a timely and effective manner has become strained. And, you know, many folks would like to go to the home. That's where, you know, the consumer wants to be. That's where the payer wants the patient to be. Skilled nursing has largely been in the rear view mirror for many healthcare providers, viewed as where healthcare's been, not where it's going. And what's happened is the bed availability has decreased for all of the issues we mentioned in the beginning of the conversation, but also the patients have gotten increasingly difficult to admit characteristics, right? That could be a pending payer, could be medically complex conditions, could be expensive medication, any number of characteristics that make that potential admission to the skilled nursing setting dilutive to the skilled nursing facility on a standalone basis. And so when you have beds decreasing and complexity increasing of those patients, the old models just aren't working the way they used to be able to work. And so, you know, having true integration, sharing in the operations of that skilled nursing setting provides a lot more flexibility for both the skilled nursing provider and the acute care provider to come together and ultimately, you know, save costs across the system for that patient. And that's really what they're trying to do here.
Yeah, it's almost like the old way of doing things, the rearview mirror that you were describing, was really trying to address issues related to discharge and care transition. And in a lot of ways, we've solved those, right? There are better data systems. We understand the patients better. I don't know, the friction with insurance companies, we haven't solved that one yet necessarily. But I think what that does mean is there's a wider playing field for both health systems and skilled nursing facilities to interact within the broader ecosystem more effectively. Why don't you just give us since we're this is a quick hit, one or two examples of where it's working the right way and what that means for the future of how the market organizes or reorganizes itself.
Yeah, one of the transactions that we're currently process on and, you know, hopefully will close this spring is in fact, you know, a joint venture between a health system and a large not-for-profit skilled nursing provider. It's in a state where it's increasingly difficult to operate. Labor is a challenge, regulatory pressures are a challenge, and the acute care systems are over capacity. And so in this example, you know, we have a health system that is actually becoming a member of the not-for-profit organization for its large skilled nursing facility to, you know, take more of an active role, protect access to those beds for the acute care setting, but also, you know, protect the viability of that skilled nursing facility going forward. And so, you know, what we're seeing is a health system step up to say, hey, we can make some capital commitments. We can become a member of this not-for-profit organization. We can provide operational resources outside of just, you know, capital, but we can also bring some things to the community that, you know, right now are lacking in the skilled nursing setting. We can bring a pediatric unit. We can bring a dialysis unit. We can help you for workforce, you know, development initiative. And, you know, what's unique is when you see these two not-for-profits come together, it unlocks other avenues going forward. They can go to the state and apply for transformational capital grants, right? It's two not-for-profits coming together in the community to say, hey, we need to protect access to care for our senior citizens. And, you know, we're coming up with a model to do so. And it's kind of going against, you know, as regulators historically have, I think, taken more punitive measures against skilled nursing providers. You know, we think that this is going to be something that gets a lot more green lights from regulators and excitement for what can happen going forward when they collaborate together.
Yeah, two and two makes five. And obviously there's huge room for improvement. And I think the tech is helping. And maybe, you know, just maybe we can all start to get healthier together as the pressures being put on the system are forcing more efficient resource utilization, maybe a little less resistance to giving away autonomy, recognizing where parties bring collaborative strengths. And I got to say, from my perspective, that's always been a focus of Kane Brothers, which is how do you bring parties together so that two and two do make five. Well, anyway, Dom, great discussion. Don't know if there's anything you'd like to add on the way out, but you know, you're a former baseball player. You got up, squared the bunt, hit it right down the line, and ran it out for a base hit, and also allowed a run to score. So good for you.
Appreciate it. And you know, my ending comment might just be that, you know, there's really not a one size fits all solution here when you're talking about acute providers and post acute care providers. It really is market specific. It really is system specific. And, you know, I think with what we have at Kane Brothers, you know, balancing our health systems expertise and our post-acute care expertise and understanding, you know, the pain points that each unique group is facing, you know, that positions us to, you know, come up with some of these unique solutions that the market, you know, desperately needs.
Yeah. When you see the whole picture, when you see the whole playing field, oftentimes opportunities present themselves. Well, this is Quick Hits after all, so let's wrap it there. Thank you, Don, for helping our listeners understand the dynamics of this very complex challenge. I encourage listeners to read Dom's insight, The Case for Additional Partnership Between Skilled Nursing and Acute Care Providers, and I'm sure we'll have more to talk about in this area in the months and years ahead. The problems aren't going away. in the meantime, stay safe, stay healthy, and keep doing what you're doing to make our health system kinder, smarter, and more accessible and affordable for all.